Hi, this is Pastor James Strickland, and you are listening to our sermon cast for Homewood Park Baptist Church.
And our message this morning is called the road only Jesus could walk. He is the only one that could do what was done. And we're going to look in scriptures on why that is the case. Let's pray. God, thank you for what we've experienced thus far in worship. And Lord, as we continue, Lord, to open your word, may it touch our hearts. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. As we approach Easter, we celebrate God's plan of redemption. You see, Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, died on the cross for your sins and mine. And for some of you, you have heard this message so much that you have discounted it as probably one of the top 10 things you would expect to hear at church. For others, it gives you hope to know that whatever you may be struggling with today, it will not overcome you because of what Jesus has already done on the cross by defeating that. But today you just need help in claiming that. You see, whether you are here today and you think you have your life mostly together, or you feel like your life is falling apart, you can have hope today, my friend, because the only person that truly understands where you are at, the only person that can truly help you with divine help, did so over 2,000 years ago. Dying for your sins and mine is something only Jesus could do. Being your Savior and mine is a road that only Jesus could walk. So let's look at what God's Word says about that. We are looking at John chapter 1, verses 29 through 36. And what we see here is that if we look, starting with verse 29, it says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" You may have read that before and just kind of continued reading or stopped on it for just a second, but there's very significant that John calls him, John the Baptist calls him, the Lamb of God. You see, there are four proofs of Jesus being the Lamb of God. And in these four proofs, the first one is that Jesus was proclaimed the Lamb of God. In other words, John the Baptist proclaimed the fact, here he comes, the Lamb of God, who would take away the sin of the world. Now here in John's testimony, there are two aspects of that. There are two things to consider. The first thing is Jesus' sacrificial work. To know that the significance of, look, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, you have to go back to the Old Testament. You see, in the Old Testament, lambs were sacrificed to cover the sins and foreshadow the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus Christ would make. We see that in the book of Leviticus. They would have daily sacrifices in the temple. Lambs were sacrificed every morning and evening to atone for the sins of the people. We see that in Exodus chapter 29. However, these sacrifices were only temporary and insufficient to fully take away those sins. Then you have not only daily sacrifices, you have the Passover. The Passover lamb played a pivotal role in the exodus of Israel from Egypt. You see, God commanded each household to sacrifice a lamb and apply the blood of that sacrifice over the door jamb of their home. And so that night, God would send the death angel throughout Egypt. And whoever believed that and acted on that and made the sacrifice and painted the door jams with that blood of that sacrificed lamb, the death angel would pass over that house. Thus meaning the Passover celebration. Those that did not heed that warning, they lost their firstborn. It was that action that finally Pharaoh said, enough, y'all get out of here. The people said, we're done with this, y'all get out of here. And as they were on their way out of Egypt from their slavery, Pharaoh reconsidered and said, I want to have him back. So he chased them. Then you get to the Red Sea and you know the rest of the story. Just as the blood of that sacrifice protected that family, Jesus' blood protects us from eternal death. Saves us from the death of our sins. If you don't believe me, you can read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. But you know what? A lamb, of all the animals, a lamb is the most defenseless creature God ever made. It can't run fast. It doesn't hear good. It doesn't see good. It can't bite. It can't fight. It really has no weapons. It's not like an eagle that can fly. It's not like a bear that has claws. It's not like a tiger that has teeth. It is purely defenseless. The second proof that we see is that as the Messiah, Jesus was always God's plan. Continue to look at John chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. Notice what it says. It says, He is the one I was talking about when I said, a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptized with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. In his life, folks, Christ fulfilled over 300 Old Testament prophecies. We read in the Old Testament, you want to know what connects the Old Testament to the New Testament? It is one thing and one thing only, my friend, Jesus Christ. Over 300 prophecies, 300 of times, people telling them what the Messiah would be like, and Jesus fulfilled every one. The statistics of somebody fulfilling even a fraction of those is astronomical. It was always the plan. And I think it's amazing. It says that where John the Baptist says in verse 31, I did not recognize him as the Messiah. You realize they were cousins. All he saw was a cousin. He never knew that his cousin was the Messiah. But now here he is being proclaimed as that. So not only did John proclaim him the Lamb of God, not only did prophetic works from the Old Testament proclaim who Jesus would be, then we see that God himself proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah as we read on in verses 32 through 34. Then John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one whom you see, the Spirit, descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And I saw this happen, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. So not only did John proclaim it, not only did the Old Testament scriptures proclaim it, God himself proclaimed that Jesus would be the Lamb of God. And then finally, the disciples in verses 35 and 36, it says, the following day, John was standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, look, there is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist repeatedly called Jesus the Lamb of God. This emphasized to John and the disciples that Jesus was the one who would forgive them of their sins and accept repentance. And it also made them curious about who Jesus really was. So we see that in John chapter 1. Now we're going to turn over just a couple of pages to a verse that you probably are very familiar with. And that's John 3:16. If you allow me just a moment, I need to get a sip of water. Thank you. But it says in John 3:16, first of all, Jesus was God's offering of atonement. Jesus was God's offering of atonement. Look at John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son that everyone, no matter what color they are, no matter how much money they have, no matter what country they're from, no matter how bad they were or how good they were, everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. If you, my friend, think if God was so loving, why would He send people to hell? God does not send people to hell. Their choice to reject God sends them to hell. Because look what God did. It says He gave His one and only Son. He gives us a way out if we will choose it. And here we have a big word called the doctrine of atonement. Can you say atonement? Good, I knew you could. Very good. I feel like I'm back on an episode of Mr. Rogers. What is atonement? Atonement is the act of making amendments. Or making, not amendments, that's what government does. The act of making amends for sin. You see, by Jesus offering His life as a sacrifice, Jesus paid the penalty for sin and made it possible for people to be forgiven and reconciled to God. You see, I don't know if people understand this. I'm sure most people do. But you are born into this world and you were born as a sinner. No one has to teach a baby how to misbehave. No one had to teach you how to lie. No one had to teach you how to have impure thoughts and do impure things. That comes naturally. That's part of the curse that we got in Genesis chapter 3. And because of that sin, if you remember, God expelled Adam and Eve from the garden. And because of that, we have been expelled, separated from God. And those sins are what stands between us and God. We were bound and destined for hell because that is where people who have sinned and reject Jesus go. That's where we were headed. That's where you are headed if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. But to make an atonement, to make amends, to pay for that, God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to atone for that. And if you want a little mnemonic or a little saying that I have to kind of communicate atonement, is that if you take that word and break it up, is that Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins to make us at one with God. Atonement. He's made us at one with God. Because you see, true love is sacrificial. Why Jesus? Why did Jesus do it? Why did God give His only Son? Because God loves you. This verse shows that God's love for humanity motivated Him to send His Son to die for our sins. Jesus' death is described as a sacrifice, as a way of atoning for the sins of the world. And let me tell you today, friends, God loves you. When you see the cross, that is the message that it proclaims. God is saying, through the cross, I love you. Jesus is saying, as He is hanging there, I love you. Why is that? Because true love, my friends, is sacrificial. True love is not what you see in the movies or read in the books. That's human love. That's desire. That's wanting to be validated. But true love, if you truly love somebody, you will sacrifice your will and maybe even your life for them, just as Jesus did for us. But you see, Jesus did what no one else was qualified to do. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. This says, talking about Jesus, He personally carried our sins in His body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By His wounds we are healed. And that is also a callback to Isaiah 53:5. But folks, why did Jesus die? Why did it have to be Jesus? Jesus died to show God is righteous and just. Here is how awesome this is, folks. God set the rules here. God set the rules that if we have sin in our lives, we cannot be in His presence. Adam and Eve had sin. He kicked them out. We have sin. So we are separated from God. But God set His rules for that. And He is so fair. And He is so just. He knew the only way to save you was to sacrifice His own Son. Now, I know we hear that again. Top 10 things we expect to hear at church. But think about this. Do you have a son? Do you have a daughter? Do you have a grandson? Do you have a granddaughter? Do you have a child in your life, whether it be by family or whatever? Do you have someone that you would say, yeah, I would absolutely give their life up for somebody that wouldn't even appreciate it? No. But yet that's what God did. Because God knew that there are not enough animals on this earth to where their blood can sacrifice for the sins of the world. It had to be once. It had to be final. And it had to be complete. Because Hebrews 9:22 says that without the shedding of blood, there is not forgiveness of sin. That is not my opinion. That is God's rule. So instead of God saying, oh, no, wait a minute, never mind. I really backed myself in the corner on this one, didn't I? Well, you know what? I'm going to change my mind. Look, I love you, but I'm not going to give my son to die for you. We'll just change the rules. That's what a politician would do. Would you really serve a God that changed His mind and His character was one to say one thing and do another? You don't believe me God loves you? You don't believe me that God takes sin seriously? Look at His Son. He took it so seriously that He gave His Son to sacrifice. I use this illustration. I was teaching life group last week and used this. And if you've heard it before, just bear with me. Some of you might not have. But there's an illustration. I don't know if it's true or not, but it does make the point that there was a bridge tender. You know, the person that raises and lowers the bridge. He went to work and the wife had to work, so he had to take his son to work. And so all of a sudden he sees this big cruise ship coming towards the bridge. Obviously, he's going to have to raise the bridge. So he's talking with the captain and he's focused on that, and he doesn't realize that his son has gotten out of his eyesight, as most kids can do, right? So as he is operating this bridge, he looks down, and as the boat approaches, he sees his son has got out and is playing outside in the gears of that bridge that raises and lowers it. And so he knew that he had two choices. Number one, all of these people, thousands upon thousands of people on this boat, the boat was going to crash into it, could likely sink, and many lives would be lost. Or he could raise the bridge, crushing his son in the gears, and everybody else would be saved. So with a heavy heart, he pulled the lever, his son was killed, and the cruise ship went by. And as the cruise ship was going by, the bridge tender looked. And there were people partying, cheering, had no idea what it cost them to go under that bridge. My friend, that is what Jesus Christ did for you. That is what God did for you. If you go back and you look at the story of Abraham and Isaac, where God told Abraham, look, you need to kill your son. You're like, man, that's harsh. But if you read the story, you see that as Abraham was raising up the knife to kill his son, God says, wait, there's a sacrificial lamb on the other side of the mountain. God did what He stopped Abraham from doing. God knew that you may not appreciate it. God knew that people may continue their party. God knew that people may be oblivious to it. But He crushed His son for our sins and our iniquities. That was something only Jesus could do. The third thing that we see is that Jesus was for us what we could never be for ourselves. And what is that? That is perfect. I know some of you may think you're perfect, but you're not. I know I'm not. But 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, God has united us with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made Him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and He freed us from sin. Christ makes us perfect because Him being in our life as our Savior and Lord, when God looks at us, He doesn't see us in our imperfection. He sees Christ in us. His perfection is what God sees. You see, Jesus had to live a perfect life. Jesus was sinless. It doesn't mean He wasn't tempted. It didn't mean He didn't have emotions. It didn't mean that His body did not hurt. We know it did. But He had to be perfect to be that sacrifice. He had to live a life of perfect obedience. This is what it means when Paul says, by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. I got news for you. You cannot be perfect. You will not be perfect. It is impossible for you to be perfect. But my friends, if you have Jesus Christ in your life, He makes you perfect. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. You see, in order to enter into fellowship with God, we would need to live a perfect life of obedience. And we just can't do that. Jesus had to live a life of perfect obedience to God so that His obedience could be counted as our obedience. So as we begin to wrap all of this up, Jesus didn't have to save you, but He chose to. You realize at any moment, Jesus could have said, nope, I'm out of here. Forget it. He could have been on that cross while people were spitting on Him and making fun of Him. He could have easily, His own people doing that. He could have easily said, you know what, God, I'm done. Let them roast. I can't do this. And if you ever have heard that they killed Jesus on the cross, let me correct your thinking on that. No one killed Jesus. He gave up His life. There is a difference. Those people that hung Him to a cross and pierced Him in the side and scourged Him and put a crown of thorns on His head, they did nothing to Him that He did not allow them to do. For you to be restored to God, Jesus chose to die on the cross. Jesus chose to die for the sins of the world out of love and a desire to restore your relationship with God. My friend, if you are struggling in your relationship with God, it's not because Jesus hasn't made a way for you to be right with Him. It's because you have chosen not to take it. He knew that your sins had separated you from God, and He was willing to sacrifice Himself to bridge that gap. Justice was satisfied on that day. Jesus' death on the cross satisfied God's justice and made it possible for you to be forgiven and reconciled to Him. You see, Jesus' sacrifice is significant for a couple reasons. Number one, it reveals God's love and mercy. Number two, it fulfills the Old Testament prophecies. Number three, it makes forgiveness and salvation even possible for us. It humbles us that we would recognize our need for salvation, and then it encourages us by offering us hope as a way out of our sin. The penalty of sin has to be paid, my friend. Now, y'all may know this, you may not, but Don and I used to live in Wilmington, and hopefully one day, as when we get old and hopefully still able to enjoy it, we'll move back one day. But if not, that's okay. But we know, I mean, we hear about tornadoes here, but they have something in Wilmington and up and down the coast called hurricane season. So you know there's that time of year, just like taxes, you know it's going to show up and it's going to be devastating. But when you hear the hurricane warning, we went through some smaller hurricanes. God chose to bless us by us not being through any of the serious ones. But I want you to understand that when Jesus was in the garden And he was praying, God, let this cup pass from me. He wasn't talking about the cup of the Lord's Supper. He was talking about all of the wrath. You realize all of the sins that we commit, have, will, and ever will commit, each one of those carry a penalty. And so what God did, there was a Cat 5 hurricane headed towards you. Straight, it was going to take you out. And that is called the penalty of your sins. But God, in His love and mercy, redirected that hurricane off of you, and Jesus bore the full brunt of that hurricane of God's wrath. And it destroyed Him. It killed Him. He who was without sin bore your sin and my sin. That wrath had to go somewhere, so it went to Jesus. And He died because of it. But praise God, we are going to celebrate in a few weeks that He rose again. But that sin, we don't get a pass on sin. It was paid for, folks. So the only atonement for your sin and mine was Jesus Christ. And He was the only one that could walk that road. Jesus' act of atonement demonstrates God's love for humanity and His desire to save us from the consequences of our sin. So, my friends, behold Jesus as the Lamb of God. Had a reminder from a friend the other day. I was asking a few folks to pray for me over this message today, because in our life group we'd already talked about some of this, and they reminded me with this, that there's a song that the praise team does called Glorious Day, and it really sums it up. It says, Word became flesh, and the light shined among us. His glory revealed. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. God's forgiveness to you is a gift, and it is free. But my friends, it was not cheap. Let's pray. God, thank You so much for our time together this morning. And as we pray our hymn of invitation, God, if there is one person here that would say, you know what? The preacher was talking to me this morning. I realized that these sins that I am bearing, that Jesus is not in my life, and He is not, I am not a Christian, and I want to make sure today that those sins are atoned for. I want to make sure that before I leave this building today, I have eternal life. If that's you, my friend, you can pray a prayer that says, God, forgive me of my sins and help me to walk with You, God, for the first day and for the next day and forever. Maybe you're a believer here and you've let sins creep in. My friends, they've been paid for too. Just confess, repent, and turn from those things. Maybe you just want to come to the altar and pray. Maybe you want to join the church. Whatever your decision is, God is working in your heart today. Would you please stand?